Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is James chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from James, the 5th chapter. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
James in his epistle makes a long commentary on the tongue, the voice, the mouth. We've just recently used our mouths to say wonderful things about our mothers, I'm sure. We also have used them in the past to say disrespectful things under our breath at her, behind her back, maybe yelling down the stairs, "I hate you, Mom," before slamming the door. Same tongue, same mouth, same person, both blessing and cursing, and it's me. That's the sobering point that James makes. The tongue is a fire that we can hardly bottle up and control. It, like all good gifts from God, twisted by sin now, it must be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And now in these last words of his letter, James turns to that sanctified and wholesome use of the tongue. The first good use is what comes to mind whenever we consider how we've sinned with our tongues. That is to confess your sins. Apologize to the person that you have cut down with your words. Speak well of them from now on. This passage has in view the healing of the body, not just the body of each of us, but the body of Christ, healing all of the breaches between neighbor and fellow Christian. Our Lord has shed his blood. He's come again alive from the grave to show us his wounds, to breathe out his peace, to work the power of his keys in us, forgiving the sins of the world and announcing it to his church. Well, truly, all the hard work is done. So now it's his will that everyone would know it and believe it. The first and closest place that that happens is in the daily conversations that each of us have between the other. That we would tell the truth, that we would admit our mistakes, but then likewise, that we would forgive people who do that. And likewise, the very last words of this epistle talk about bringing back those who have gone astray from what is true. We're taught not to treat that as some kind of second-class effort, second maybe to bringing into the gospel an entirely new soul like missionaries are doing somewhere else. Well, indeed, what is most often needed is that we would speak up to those people that we already know and live with, that we would dare to show that it's important enough that we would say something about it, to dare to take the time to respond to whatever doubts or objections or troubles that they have, to dare to show that you're not out for a pound of flesh from them, but you're after full healing, that you're trying to bring someone to repent and admit a problem that has a value in itself. You're bringing the truth out of a sinner's mouth, true, but it isn't meant to remain by itself. Confession's value is meant to be surpassed by the forgiveness that follows it, the mercy which alone can actually put a troubled conscience at ease, at rest, at peace, as Jesus said. Such patient work which each of us must do with our neighbors. This is attributed in today's reading with equal honor, equal value and standing, which might be surprising to you. It says that you will have saved the person's soul from death, that you will have covered a multitude of sins. Surely Christ and his Spirit do this, not us. And yet it is his will that your tongue would announce it. Now the second good use of our tongues is the one that we focus on now in these four rogation days devoted to prayer before our Lord's ascension that we will celebrate on Thursday. The tongue is meant to pray. Notice, not only the mind silently or the heart quietly, but also the voice and the body should be engaged in prayer to our Lord. Once you've exercised your tongue rightly, perhaps attempting to bring back a wanderer like James mentions here, well, then you will keenly be aware of your tongue's inadequacy. Perhaps it's astonishing or even discouraging to think that you ought to be out there saving souls or covering sins when your words seem so small. That's not all bad. James isn't trying to call us all to be puffed up and have big tongues, be prideful. He's trying to encourage us in what is right. But neither then should you pride yourself in your inabilities. This is a call for faith in each of us. Do you know anyone who is not weak by chance? Do you know somebody who is not inadequate as you are? Have you forgotten about your Lord? See, James doesn't focus on the strength of the one who prays, how righteous their character is, out of which maybe some great power might arise. He brings up an example and he says, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. His righteousness, just like his powers told in the scriptures, were from God, not from himself. His ministry had lots of ineffective moments, and he was pretty aware of them. But that was cause for him to ask the Lord's help in everything he did. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its effects because it calls on the one who alone truly does wonders. Now, the prayers of a farmer are simple. He wants more rain. He wants not too much rain. He's always complaining, we non-farmers observe. But the strength of their posture is when they, like Elijah, stand before the Lord's face, and that's where they render all of their complaints. They ask God for help. They bring their needs and their desires to him, trusting that he has promised to hear them, and so he can do something about it. And they are blessed in that. They are free of the delusion that they could make the rain, which of course they can't. But we who are not farmers are still deluded into thinking that we can make the preferred outcomes, the desired futures, all happen by our own strength, which of course we can't. And then in disaster, we become frantic. And then we become most likely, of course, to let our tongues go and set fire to everything. Truly, what is needed right now, right at this time of year, is that we would confess our sins to one another and that we would pray for one another. If our work is going to be of good use, then let it be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And then we could even receive it with thanksgiving. So if anything is falling apart, return to the simple petitions this week. Spare us, O Lord. Help us, good Lord. Hear us, O Lord. And if the world is full of every need or every worry or care or sphere of challenge that is beyond our capacity, and bring it all under the Kyrie eleison, as we do this time of year in the litany. Don't exercise your doubt or your despair or your pride. Those are puffed up enough. Rather, exercise your faith. For the Lord has not failed. He is not absent, nor is he disturbed by any of this. He has spoken well. Peace be with you. To seek his peace and success in every situation, that will never be a heaping up of idle words, but that will be putting your words to good use. Truly, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.